a film that has cult classic written all over it, Sinful Celluloid.
Veronica is the best horror movie I've seen in the theaters this year. Pat O'Sullivan, Daily Grindhouse.
The instant midnight masterpiece that is Danzig's Veronica. AV Club.
I've come.
A total roller coaster ride of emotions Thanks. Through anticipation, to glee, to disgust, to sympathy, to fascination. Veronica is its own world. The core slash shutter, Gabe Roth.
This is a film destined for cult attraction. I all but guarantee Veronica will be populating midnight screenings when it officially comes out.
Cause of death?
This is a crowd movie.
Yeah, shock
dot, dot, dot. This will be a movie people bond over. iHorror.com.
Believe the hype. Glenn Danzig's Veronica was absolutely exquisite. Mike Mendez, director.
Veronica. Wow. Wow. Roxanne Benjamin, director / Shudder.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am Joe Thrash and Kill. Here on the ones and twos, I've got my good buddy, the Golden Boy, 365 Days of Horror, or as we like to call him, Jordan. How's it going, Jordan?
Veronica. Wow.
But that's not all. We're playing with a complete set today, because we also have our good friend, Brenoside.
Sorry, I saw the wow coming. Wow.
It bothers me that all of these people are calling this movie a cult classic, and you don't get to decide that. Okay, that's not on you.
You can't set that up.
Right. This is not even out for the general public's consumption. The general public will make the decision of what is a cult classic, and it won't happen the day it comes out. It'll happen years in the future. So get the fuck out of here with your misplaced claims around this fucking softcore porno made for the PS3 looking ass movie.
I know, it's like it was recorded in 720p or something. That's the best they could do.
It looks like it was done by that guy who just left Five Finger Death Punch to make shitty pornos.
I said before that this was probably recorded with an iPhone, but I'm looking back on it and it's probably one of the Samsung Galaxies from previous years, maybe like S8, S9.
Yeah,
I'm rocking an S4 still, so I don't disagree with you.
So, still not out yet.
It got pushed back.
Yep. I mean,
the DVD was supposed to come out in February. Now they're saying March on Amazon. Why do they want to keep this cult classic from the audience?
Well, one thing that is indicative of a cult classic is it has to do poorly in theaters. So at least they'll get that half right.
Yeah, yeah. This is not getting a theatrical release, is it?
Apparently, maybe some midnight showings, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that technically counts as it being in theaters. Like, sometimes you'll look at a weekly rundown of how much money movies made in a week, and you'll see something made like $1,000, and it's like because they had to put it in a theater somewhere and only a handful of people saw it. So I think technically it's been in theaters.
Well, yeah, you gotta release it in a theater if you want to be eligible for award consideration. So
Oscars so Danzig.
Unfortunately, this is not the Veronica episode. It's not out. We haven't seen it, but we will have that episode for you as soon as it is available. We just had to look at the official trailer for reasons that even I can't explain.
How come we weren't in on that PR list? How come we didn't get that email with the exclusive premiere that we could watch on our computer?
It's probably because we gave Danzig's Elvis covers album a poor review.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got us on the blacklist.
That should be the name of his next movie and or album.
The Blacklist.
Toilet of Hell. He just goes down the list and reads all the things that made fun of him. Loud
Well, fellas, how have you been?
I mean, I just spent, before the show, I spent an hour shoveling my driveway, only to start sweating and look around and find out that it's like 45 fucking degrees right now. And that, you know, I really could have just waited and it would have all melted anyway.
That's okay. You know, you got your workout in, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel good because my body just craves exercise, but I just personally hate it so much, like, mentally, that, I don't know, I just ruin it for myself.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Jordo, how you be?
Doing okay. I would like to point out that last week when you weren't on the show, it was 70 degrees, and now that you're back, it's been in, like, the low teens, and it snowed last night, so thanks.
Like a foot of snow.
I didn't get a foot of snow.
No, I did.
I was in Dallas last weekend, and it fucking snowed there.
Does the whole city stop?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from North Texas, and it snows maybe once every 4 or 5 years, and okay, well, you got the day off. Good job, everybody.
Does everyone take out their six shooters and, you know, shoot at the sky, screaming, what's this, you know, things flying at us?
It's fun. You see children building the most pathetic, mushy snowmen.
Just sloshy and muddy. And
yep.
Sandy and like a weird clay that you wouldn't expect a snowman to have.
Yep.
Oddly full of chili.
I spent a year living in Nashville, and they had like a historic, I don't know, 5 inches of snow, and the whole fucking place shut down for like 2 weeks. It was like a nightmare just having people flip their, you know, Camaros, etc. They just didn't know what to do.
I thought that Tennessee got cold. I guess, am I wrong there?
I don't think it got cold enough to snow that much. Like, you might get some, you know, little sprinkles of snow here and there, but I don't think enough to actually accumulate, usually.
Hmm. Well, there we go. If any Tennessee listener wants to disagree with us, write in. We're looking forward to reading your emails on the show. So, yeah, man, I've been doing things. Been doing a lot of things. I start school tomorrow, so in the meantime, I've been trying to get in all my activity in. Last week, of course, I went to Evil Beat 2 in Dallas, Power Trip's second annual festival. We had talked about it a bit on the show, about my plans to go, and I went, and it was lovely. I had a great time seeing friends and seeing some really fucking great bands. And some legacy acts that were not so hot.
Oh, no? Anything that stand out in your mind?
Violence. it was, you know, behold the horrors of age and all that shit, you know?
Yeah, dear.
I mean, Violence is most famous for their album cover.
Like, yep.
Not even their music. More people know that album cover than I think they would any of the tunes.
Yeah.
The guy getting his, like, face peeled, like, sawed off mid-yawn.
I was thinking the one where it's falling into the, like, gaping mouth gyna with all the teeth.
Yep.
The one.
That's the one. So, yeah, no, it was just, you know, if there were the crowd at this festival was fucking baffling. I haven't been to Dallas in probably a decade, and I haven't been to a show in Dallas in even longer. So, seeing a big festival in a different city was interesting. And if you go to a metal show in Houston, it's filled with insanely violent people. if you go to a show in San Antonio, it's all your Mexican uncle. If you go to a show in Austin, it's just everyone is me.
This sounds like a meme waiting to happen.
And if you go to a show in Dallas, you get this weird concurrence of characters. So you have middle-aged guys that were there to see violence and no one else. and they were having the best time. There was one character running around in full nu metal corpse paint, and I couldn't figure out what band he was there to see. The only black metal band on the bill was Death Heaven, which I thought for a second when I first saw him out of the corner of my eye, it might be like an irony thing. And I got closer and I saw that paint was more along the lines of maybe a mushroom head, if you will. there were no new metal bands on the bill.
I was about to
ask.
It
could have been a member from Mushroom Head and he just can't get the paint off.
Maybe.
It's just a tattoo on his face.
There was a fellow wearing a traditional kilt and a frilly pirate shirt. Couldn't figure out who he was there to see either.
Death Heaven.
And the thing that everybody had in common was by the time Power Trip finished and Carcass was going on, people were fucking falling down drunk. Corpse Paint Man was asleep in the hallway. I don't know how anybody achieved this because I purchased one beer and it was $17.
Holy shit.
No pricing was listed anywhere.
I mean, dude, I've paid $7 for a beer and been sour about it. How the fuck did they get away with that?
I do not know. My friend Courtney purchased a vodka drink. It was $22. Just
wow.
People paid the equivalent of their mortgage to get shit hammered at the show, and it was something else.
Or did they drink in the parking lot like it's a football game?
That would have been much smarter. I was driving, so I was keeping it even keeled.
You gotta tailgate a bit. You gotta pregame.
Yeah. Carcass, great brand. Power Trip brought it as always. Death Heaven did the best set I've seen them do because it was shorter, much shorter, so that it was just the bangers, nothing else. They had no time to dick around with the atmospheric stuff. Or the shoegazy stuff. Sheer Mag, interesting. Like AC/DC, fronted by an extremely fierce lady. But the best band of the whole deal was Drab Majesty, who I was not super familiar with aside from listening to some of their stuff on Bandcamp. Two guys going out on stage looking like space alien versions of Andy Warhol, just playing like insanely dense, gothy synth pop stuff. They killed it.
The crowd reaction to that?
It was so good because, and I think just this one guy will give you an idea of how it goes. This one portly feller with a cowboy hat with big ostrich feathers in it, and a big mustache, stared at them open mouth for the first song or two, and they just started dancing his ass off.
That's nice. It's hard to tell with some of these bills where it's like mostly more of the extreme metal bands how people might react, you know, because metal fans aren't always the most accepting of other genres or mixed bills.
No, for the most part, I think it really went off great. It was a great mix of bands. I did dip off into the second room to see Violence for a bit, and I fought through the crowd to get to the back, and I noticed that the right guitarist was playing and no sound was coming out, and I look over next to me, and there is an old man asleep at the console.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
How do you fall asleep at a loud show like that?
Dedication.
Too many years of practice. Beers.
Yeah, he was exactly as invested in Violence as I was.
Yeah. What are you going to do? To take it back earlier in the conversation, I don't know why it makes me so mad, but it just really pisses me off when guys bring, like, the ironic kilt and flowy shirts and corpse paint into the show. I hate mosh those guys the worst.
I'm gonna go ahead and say there was an absence of irony among these fellas.
It was just Saturday night.
Yes.
That doesn't mean an absence of hate moshing. Let's make that clear.
I'd say that the moving crowd in Dallas, you know, I'm not saying this to offend anybody in the North Texas area. They just don't bring it very hard. So, you know, it's a good time, not a mean time. If you really want to get your eye socket broken, just go to Houston.
Fair point.
I mean, when they're not breaking eye sockets, they're cheating to win the World Series.
I can't even follow all of the twists and turns with this story, man.
Sign stealing, possibly electronic buzzers under their jerseys, letting them know when pitches are coming. Very interesting conspiracy stuff that has claimed three managers in the past like week and a half for Major League Baseball. Pretty good.
I mean, good on these guys for making baseball interesting.
Someone had to do it.
What has been, I've got more dumb stories I can tell, but I figure that rather than having Joe's story time, we can talk about some of the events of the week. Is that acceptable to you guys?
It never is, but here we are.
I kind of like dumb Joe story time, but I also want to know, since you're going back to school tomorrow, is your lunch packed? Do you have your book bag by the door? Do you have to know which bus to take? Are you good to go?
I think so. I want to give a shout out to all the kind souls on Twitter when I was like, hey, my younger followers, what would you do? Say if you had a class with a very expensive textbook that you didn't want to pay for, you guys came through in the clutch like no other.
Oh yeah, no, that's good advice. I saw that where you pretty much just buy the last edition used online, you will get it so much cheaper.
Yeah, a number of people DM me for less savory routes as well, if you're willing to get. What got me is that my most expensive book is over 1,000 pages, so my initial plan was to download it, the e-text offline, and go to FedEx and print off the pages, and then I did the math, and I'm like, I should just buy the book.
Oh, yeah. And the worst part is, you know you're not going to read probably half of the books you buy.
I know. So... education's a scam, man. I did it before, and it's all, you just gotta check off all these boxes, and the people will say, I guess you're good enough. So I get to do that again, and it's great.
I feel like we could circumvent the whole process if we all just got the books. I mean, it's like, what does professor do except tell you to read the book and tell you what's in the book when you go to class?
See, I had classes where they had you get books, but then never used
them. Same.
That's happened. Yeah. That's always a fucking treat when you spend $220 on some bullshit textbook and then they don't even crack it open.
I also had a couple of classes in undergrad where the professor said, I wrote the textbook. I will not test you on anything that is not in the textbook. You can just read the book that I wrote and come to the tests.
I had this one stone cold motherfucker who not only did he write the textbook, but he handed it all out to us for free.
Oh, that's a mensch.
And he was a Cuban math teacher. The guy was a fucking phenom. I loved that guy. A plus in that class. Only one ever.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes you get a great professor like that. Good on that guy.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of like a more, I mean, it looked official. It wasn't, we're not talking like a hardcover binding sort of a situation. This was like an algebra book that had kind of a cheaper plastic cover, but it looked official, you know. Everything seemed above board, but fuck, I mean, he brought them all in.
Yeah.
Handed them out.
That's great. I do like the professors that write their own books, but they do it with the shitty binding that you just get from the university coffee shop, and they're like, $40, it's yours, that's it.
Yeah.
And then these other motherfuckers with the hardbound 1,000-page textbook that breaks your back and you're never going to open. A pox on you.
I just, oh my God, I hope your children are born without knees. You know, worst curses I could conjure towards you and your loved ones. How dare you?
But aside from schooling, which I'm sure I'll complain about in the future, we got things happening in the world of metal. I had made a joke the last episode that I was on about. We were kind of talking about industrial having another moment in metal, where there's new bands coming out and kind of revitalizing the sound that's been, you know, kind of cast by the wayside in popularity for, you know, a long ass time. I joked that Ministry is not allowed to be a part of this wave. That was a joke because I don't like Ministry. But we can definitively say that Ministry is not allowed in this realm.
They solidified that in writing. It's now official. They are now out of the league.
Maggie Sirota, just a day or two ago, published a piece in Billboard titled Ministry Guitarist Sin Kirin Accused of Underage Sexual Relationship by Two Women. And if you follow any kind of subculture of music, this is an unsurprising story, and it sucks. Jordan, did you take a look at this piece?
I did, and I think everyone else should too. It's quite lengthy, but full of lots of specifics, which are important when there's a story that comes out like this. Yes, Sin Quirin, who's the current guitarist for Ministry, and as of this recording, there has not been any news on him being kicked out. It's the weekend. Maybe Al Jorgensen's phone is off. Maybe he's out doing something else and hasn't really figured out what's happening, so we'll see. But he's been the guitarist since 2002, so well beyond any time you'd actually like a new Ministry song. And back in 2002, he was playing with the band Society One, and I don't know if anyone really remembers them. They were best known, they were like industrial nu metal, but their vocalist would suspend himself by hooks, like that whole gross thing.
Yep.
But that was their cool shtick. And her name's in the articles. Her name's Kelly Longoria. She met Sin Quirin at the show, and eventually they started a sexual relationship when she was just 15 years old. And it went on for a long time, and he had another relationship with another underage girl, and people knew about it, including apparently Society One's vocalist, who now like denies ever saying any of this stuff, even though there's like receipts. And he's a big pederast creep. And the one interesting thing that I do want to point out about this story is at the show where Kelly Longoria met Sin Quirin, they were playing with the band Dope. And if you remember, another famous pederast, Trip Eason, was the guitarist of Dope.
Yeah.
Boy, was that a Jeffrey Epstein plane ride or what?
In this story, they make note that Sin had asked Kelly specifically, like, how old are you? And she said 15. At the time, I believe that would have made him 33 years old. So we're all roughly the same age. And if you have any friends roughly the same age, they're like, yeah, I'd totally go after a 15-year-old. You should probably just, like, punch them right in the throat. That's, what the fuck, dude?
That's just straight up fucking a child, man. That's what that is. Picture a 15-year-old girl in your vicinity. Like, what are you even going to say to her?
No, I don't.
I Jesus Christ. It's like,
I wonder, I don't know. I've made the same kind of thing, the speculation multiple times on the show, but I have to wonder if there is something about just having an inkling of relative scene clout or fame that makes people think that they can just get away with whatever fucked up antisocial behavior they want. And it's another case here where, you know, you've got this guy, the guitar player, you've got the vocalist. By the way, like, is it a huge stretch to imagine that the guy that's really into suspension is also a massive creep?
Speaking of massive creep, I don't know why this is, but it looks like Billboard.com is hiding this entire story behind a paywall now.
I don't have that. I'm looking
at it right now.
Yeah.
It's telling me, sorry, only for Billboard Pros. Already a member, sign in. Join Billboard Pro for access to Billboard charts, plus news, data, analysis from the most trusted voice in the global music industry. Maybe it's because I read the story previously. I don't know if this is the first time you guys clicked on it or second or whatever. But I got a fucking paywall. It won't let me read it.
I'm going to say it's because you've read too many Billboard articles and you've hit your monthly limit.
I see.
We know you're a big...
exposed myself.
We know you're a big Billboard fiend.
I'm a pocket fiend. I got Firefox. All the fucking things come up. And if it's vaguely about music, I might click on it. So maybe that's what happened.
You're constantly refreshing the charts, trying to see what the hoodie with the boogie is doing.
Yeah. I don't even know who's in the Hot 100 currently. I just don't. Let's find out. We got, Justin Bieber's back. Okay, that's enough.
Well, Eminem surprise released an album just yesterday, I believe.
Great.
I saw that, and the first thing that popped in my mind just is, that's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not. Just like imagining, 45-year-old libs like, yes, this is hot fire.
Sin Queeran. Do we know that's how to pronounce his name? Are we butchering that?
I don't. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, how much? What do you think? What do you think's the next step here? Do you think he's gonna deny it? Do you think he's gonna apologize? Do you think he's just gonna straight up get kicked out of the band? Where do we go from here?
He's already had his attorney deny it.
Okay, I would know that if I could read the story.
And also later in the story, it mentions a consultant who like ran his MySpace page. And was getting all of these messages from underage girls saying, like, where are you? Why haven't we spoken in a while? And, like, had alluded to having sexual contact with him at various points. So this has been going on for a long time, and it's not just these two victims.
If you're the social media manager of some creep, don't you have some kind of responsibility to, I don't know, do something in this situation?
You would think.
Is it just like I'm getting paid like nothing for this, so like it's not my problem, it's above my pay grade, or it's mind boggling to me, man.
Whole story's gross. 15 and 33. God damn. Apparently, so according to Metal Sucks, although Kieran has issued denials of any inappropriate conduct through his attorney, in both instances there are corroborating sources. These include former singer and Rock of Love contestant Lacey Skulls, who dated Kieran in 2010 when they were both touring members of Lords of Acid. Skulls claims she ended that relationship after she became aware that Kieran had sex with a minor, and has reportedly provided Billboard's sister site Spin with emails in which the guitarist admits to having had sex with a minor while denying that he deliberately targets children.
It's gross, man. Do you remember Lords of Acid?
No.
I remember the name.
Yeah, I mean, I might be lying.
I don't know. I had no idea that they had both this guy and a former Rock of Love contestant in the band. I think there might
I would assume the shitty industrial scene is very small and there's a lot of member trading.
That makes a lot of sense. It's all gross, man. All incredibly gross. Both the, you know, pedophilia and the industrial scene. I feel like Jorgensen has to do something here, right?
Jorgensen issued the following statement. This is through his attorney, right? Mr. Jorgensen is unaware of any potential nefarious activity by any member of Ministry during their respective tenure with the band, including but not limited to Mr. Sin Queeran.
What?
Yeah, that's it. I don't know.
Okay.
That's all.
All right, that's not exactly the courageous statement I was expecting.
Bold claims by bold men.
I'm looking at this story. It's on the PRP. I'm assuming this is a typo, but it makes it out to look like both Al Jorgensen and Sin Quirinana, they have the same attorney.
Oh, that's smart.
I'm going to assume this is incorrect, or at least hope, but it looks like it's both. They're both have the same attorney, Randolph Ortega.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's a bold move as well. So basically, the attorneys in both ears just saying, like, both you guys just deny. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You got a blah, blah, blah situation.
Looks like the band. Yada, yada.
something. Who knows? He said, she said. All speculation. The band's next tour in the United States is scheduled to commence in July this year. Who's going? Stokes for that one or what?
That tour was announced this week, and people were super excited about it because KMFDM is also on it, and it's like the two big, like, 80s to early 90s industrial bands are touring together.
And I'm sure droves of Ministry fans are going to show up totally unaware of this whole situation.
Nipple tape on a 50-year-old.
Oh, God.
How much tape do you need with those big saucer-looking things to get that age?
Cowboy hat, choker necklace, nipple tape on the sag and boobage.
Oh yeah, we're talking
leather
like
assless chaps.
Let's focus on the cowboy hat here, because looking at Kieran, I'm expecting most of his fans to do something similar. I mean, we got like the really cheapy cartoonish skull and crossbones. This one looks like it has some kind of weird golden felt looking thing going on here. But usually, I think the bold move is like a gator skin cowboy hat with the cartoony skull and crossbone embroidered in the front.
I was watching the UFC fight last night at the shitty pay-to-play metal show that I went to, because I didn't want to pay attention to the bands. They had Dave Bautista looking like a fucking burned Slim Jim wearing the same kind of hat. It's a strong look when you're when you're an aging, I don't know, entertainment type. Just put on the terrible cowboy hat and hey, you got a whole new persona. It's been working for, you know, it's been working for Dave Vincent for a long time.
Well, wasn't the guy who lost last night in 40 seconds to Conor McGregor, isn't he cowboy whatever the fuck?
Cowboy Cerrone, yeah. That was a depressing, depressing spectacle. There was a handful of these deathcore chuds walking around, watching the TV and yelling as the fight was going on. They're like, yeah, you know, Conor McGregor's the greatest. And I was just saying loudly to no one in general, he has two pending sexual assault cases against him.
And sucker punched an old man at a bar like 2 months ago.
Yeah, and is an inveterate racist.
Yes.
And he's Irish.
You also, you know who else had a really great hat? Vinnie Paul, R.I.P. He had the ridiculous Chinese myth dragon one.
Was Vinnie Paul do you think he was maybe the originator of the saggy metal guy cowboy hat?
No, I think there was like a cryptozoologist on the History Channel who rocked it best. God knows I can't give you a name right now. I just recall that we were seriously considering this guy as an expert on Bigfoot hunting on national television. So shout out to him. We'll figure it out next show.
Is it kind of like the reverse Fenris, where it's like big sunglasses, cool band? Is it like big cowboy hat, creepy pederast?
I think that's probably a good rule of thumb there, man. Think about all the bands that you know of where somebody prominently features somebody wearing a giant cowboy hat that covers up their eyes because it's got a slope super, super low. I'm thinking immediately of Texas Hippie Coalition.
So that yeah. I was thinking too.
With that really – there's just that creepy – brim curl on yeah. the sides there. It's just too like no one needs a hat to function this way.
You've also got, of course, Bret Michaels. He's been rocking that for a long time.
Gag.
That's because his brain is exposed underneath. They're like, too his many hairline went back too far, and his forehead went down too low, and they're just brain.
It's, oh, it's just a rat tail at this point.
It's just an accident involving a Bosch hair plug operation where his the top of his head looks like Zed from Power Rangers.
That's good, because we were just talking about Rock of Love, and now, you know, things come full circle, as they often do on the show.
As they do. this is a theory that we'll look to in the future, if we can tie deviant behavior to a shitty cowboy hat.
Yeah, shitty curly brim cowboy hats, sculpted facial hair.
This whole story ties into another big story that happened this weekend. If you're the kind of person that's into the music that I suppose we're all into, Iron Reagan kicked their bass player out, Rob Scottis. It happened just a couple of days ago, where Scottis got himself removed as a business partner from several pizza thrash restaurants.
On brand, I'll give him that.
It's true. Yeah. Very true. He was accused of being a serial rapist and harasser. There were some allegations thrown around on Twitter anonymously that there was a deep history of him being an aggressive abuser. So immediately he was removed as a partner from the main umbrella of his businesses, which would be Cobra Cabana, a restaurant in Virginia, and then also Hot for Pizza, which is his new venture.
Damn, he lived above one of his restaurants, and like that's where a lot of this occurred.
That's super gross, man.
I think he was kicked out of that too.
He was. Yeah, he like lived above, and the restaurant, I guess, had a bar, and I guess that's where, according to some people, that's where he would do his thing, getting drunk women to come up to his apartment.
Imagine being canceled so hard that you have to move out.
You lost your job, your band, and your apartment.
You've just been like wiped clean. You're now homeless. Like, you have nowhere to go.
The next time this happens, we're referring to it as pulling a SCOTUS.
I don't know. I think that that's probably the right form of action against abusers. You have to lose it all, man. No, like, well, you know, let's refer to our shared lawyer. He's probably didn't do it. Also, come see us on tour this June.
Or the old chestnut of, he was always cool to me.
Oh, God, no. The worst.
Well, hopefully all you guys who say he's always been cool, you got a nice comfy couch for him. Put your money where your mouth is, you fuck.
I don't want a comfy couch. I hope he gets one of those pull-out ones where the bar is just right in the middle of your back.
Just absolutely coated in cat hair.
Cat piss.
Just, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even worse.
You get
like a misbehaved cat.
You get the lumpy IKEA futon.
Well, let's not go that far. We don't have all the answers yet.
Okay. He doesn't get to lay on the kubli yet.
The kubli.
Those fucking sumo bean bags.
No, man. That's if you did something good.
Those are for good boys only.
The sumo bean bag is for closers only.
He gets the blow up bed where you lay on it and wake up an hour later and it's deflated.
back when I was living with my brother, I was so fucking poor that my bed was a mattress that I took out of like a fold out couch from the 70s. Like, I just took that mattress, this thin, awful, springy, horrible thing, and it had floral print all over it, God knows why, and I threw that on the floor and that was my bed. I hope that's like his situation, but in an alleyway somewhere.
I've slept on that exact same mattress before.
Was the couch orange? Maybe we're talking about the same
model. Yeah, man.
Oh my fucking God, no way.
You haven't really lived unless you've been in dire straits.
Yeah, like the meme about like, you know, guys will live this way. Like, that meme is not funny to me because it just means we're broke.
I don't really get that. It's like guys will live on a mattress without a box spring, or like they'll eat off the same plate twice or something like that. It's like, yes, those are practical things to do.
It's like, if I could afford fucking MTV Cribs, you think I'd live like this? I'm like Lenny from The Simpsons. Don't tell people how I live.
I slept on a mattress without anything else until I was like 30, and it's fine.
Yeah, your back is all right.
Yeah, don't tell anybody that you can't do that. You can. It's fine.
I slept on a comforter for a while, so yeah. You do what you have to. Yeah.
That's pretty bad. I knew a guy in college who slept on a yoga mat, which seemed like a bridge too far for me.
I hope this Scottish guy is listening and he's getting some ideas for how he's
taking notes.
Yeah, if he can afford the pen and pencil.
So, good on Aaron Reagan. They did the right thing. They kicked him out immediately. Said, "This is fucked. We don't want this shit in our band." And Rob, you're on your own to make your own statement about this. So, if you want to see, the way to handle this properly, I'd say that Aaron Reagan did that.
He did answer. He did say something. I remember it was like a full blown denial of all claims.
I've got it in front of me if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dearest friends, off to a great start here. As some of you know, I have recently been blindsided by a baseless attack from an anonymous Twitter account. This is a name.
I like that he worked base and attack in this in this sentence. Good for him.
This is a nameless and faceless account whose sole purpose is to smear local RVA business owners. And I'd like to go ahead and clarify, this came from shitty business owners of Virginia or something like that, which... if you're making an allegation against a shitty boss, you don't want to put your name to it. That's how that works. Unfortunately, this slanderous accusation has created enough noise to cause me to be alienated from my beloved restaurant and compelled me to at least temporarily step back from my role in Iron Reagan. This entire episode has been unspeakably painful and confusing. The one thing I can say with absolute certainty is that no part of this allegation is true. I strongly encourage everybody to consider the source of these fabrications and ask that you do not rush to judgment. Thank you, friends and family, for continuing to support me through this difficult time. Love, Rob. You guys ever worked in a restaurant?
Oh, man. I couldn't do it.
Nope,
it's rough. I have not. Have you?
Yep.
Nah. What type of restaurant was it?
A wing bar.
Oh, did you have to wear skimpy shorts?
No, but I should have, because my tips were dog shit.
I show a little skin, man.
The things that go on at restaurants, like the way that management abuses staff and staff abuses other staff, it's fucking awful. People working their fucking balls off for nothing. I'm glad that workers have taken what little power that they have to basically call out, shame their horrible bosses and managers for their bad behavior. Because that's a whole nother thing, too. Like, the level of, like, sexual abuse that happens in restaurants is just, it's fucked up, dude. You have some shitty power tripping manager who will give wait staff shittier schedules unless you know maybe you help me out a little bit. It's fucked up, dude. So another thing is that restaurants love their favorite thing in the world is underpaying staff or not paying them at all. So gotta take what you can, name and shame. And good on Iron Reagan for distancing himself from this guy, too. Small business owner, abuser. The worst combination.
And a bassist.
And a bass player. The worst.
Just a monster.
It wasn't quite a monster until bass player got added to the mix there. It's too bad, though. He seemed to have the right idea with this whole pizza thrash company thing. I would have gone there. I guess I will now that he's not involved.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that.
Can't punish the business if they did the right thing. They kick the guy out.
I don't know, man. As much as I like the pizza thrash bands of a decade ago, it seems a little cheesy.
Yeah.
Now.
No.
They're a little too crusty.
But that's neither here nor there. But figure that we should probably mention these stories because they're happening, and that's what we do.
Happy Creep Week, everyone.
Every week is Creep Week on this podcast.
Every week is Creep Week. And like I said, people are going to line up. They're going to go to the shows regardless. Ministry is going to sell out wherever, you know. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of weird because anyone who could possibly be listening to Ministry most likely doesn't just like read news online.
Doesn't read.
About anyone else too. Doesn't read.
I don't know. I remember distinctly in the Bush era, a lot of people were trying to get me to listen to those anti-Bush albums, and I didn't like them at all, man. Did you ever listen to those, Jordan?
It was at No W was the song, and A New World Order. We would just repeat that over and over again.
Yeah.
And they had like the big, the guy in like the oversized Ronald Reagan head.
I remember, I think that the last thing that they did before they said that they were hanging it up forever was a cover of Roadhouse. And they were like, that's it. We'll never get back together again. And I think they've gotten back together again 3 or 4 more times since then.
Maybe that was a giant George H.W.
Bush. I think it was, yeah.
You guys can correct me now. It's okay. I can take it.
These were all albums distinctly targeting George W. Bush and his horrific administration and their many war crimes. And they worked. They got him to stop the war in Iraq, and he stepped down.
He eventually left office after his maximum of 8-year serving. So you did it, Ministry. Thank you.
They ended the war, too.
Thank you so much. How and who are we to just throw these allegations at them when they've done so much for mankind?
It's true. It's true. I alluded to it earlier. I went to a local pay-to-play show last night.
Yeah. When did you get there? At doors opening at 12?
There were 8 bands on the bill. I got there at 10:30. I think that there were... When I got there, there were three bands left.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was it all in one room?
All in one room, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. This was... A friend had asked me to go... support his friend's band, a guy I'd never met before. Wow. Yeah,
that's not a friend.
Yeah. Well, you need to reevaluate your friend.
He paid for my ticket that he bought from the band.
Is he gonna pay for your therapy?
Good. Then he already did his job. You don't have to go.
So this was at a venue that I pretty much never go to because they're the local pay to play venue. Come and Take It Live is what it's called. And there's all kinds of shitty.
Come and Take It, indeed.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shitty wood paneling and Come and Take It signs, you know, from the Texas Revolution or whatever.
Their sister club, fuck you, pay me.
And I was really getting a kick out of looking at all the posters on the wall for upcoming shows. Bands that, you know, are active and, you know, I know that people go to see, but I would never go to see, you know, like if you really wanted to see Flotsam and Jetsam, this is the venue to go see it.
It's so interesting how that works, how whenever there's a pay to play show, it's never like these major big names that people really want to see. It's always like these shitty C tier metal acts that like not that many people care about.
So the headliner of this band, they had a big banner behind all the bands. I don't know who they were. I've never heard of them in my life. I didn't stick around for them because I don't give a shit. But I will say this was a show. There was a small but very enthusiastic crowd. Because I guess everybody knows everybody. These are essentially your friends going to see your band. The music. Meshuggah should go on trial at the Hague for what they hath wrought.
Do you think it's just Meshuggah's fault, or do you think maybe, say, your like Korn and Deftones, you know, those kind of bands?
I think
cop that whole djent scene as well.
I think Korn has a lot to answer for. The music playing in between every band was either Pantera or Korn.
Always Pantera at the shows, always, and people are always really excited to hear it, like, oh fuck yes, 5 minutes alone. But you can never hear it anywhere else.
The crowd all together, respect. Yep. Walk. Oh, they're so stoked. It's like, fine, just go home and listen to it, you don't have to be here.
So the band that I went to see was kind of an amalgam of Meshuggah and Korn, and you've heard this exact band many times. You know exactly what it was. Dudes with 9-string guitars plugged into an Axe FX.
They gented, did they?
If you want to call it that, yeah. I was really enjoying their sound check.
I don't want to call anything that. Let's be clear here.
I was really enjoying the sound check where both the guitarists were just like hammering away at their absurdly detuned guitars. Like, yeah, man, that sounds fucking awesome. This is great. Blow, blow, blow,
blow, blow. Jordan got it. Do it again.
Yep.
There it is.
Yeah, you said honk.
It's a shitting goose.
Truly honking on Bobo. So that was fun. The band after them, though, was the one that I enjoyed the most. It was some early 20s guys that I think if you asked them, they would answer non-ironically, judging by all the t-shirts in the crowd that I saw, that their number one inspiration was Amir.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So you had a guy, their vocalists... looked like a mixture of Ronnie Radke and Stifler from American Pie.
I know exactly what he looks like.
So he's on the right show this week with Creep Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have zero doubts about this guy. And the guitarist and the bassist on either side of him with banners depicting the band's name propped up behind them doing coordinated moves.
Sounds great. Did you have fun?
No, I didn't. I hated this so much.
Have you learned your lesson?
I didn't know that I needed to learn this lesson, but I think the thing
that's how you learn lessons.
I think that the thing that I took from this really is that I am not a part of my local scene at all. But it is a small and enthusiastic scene of very bad bands that do this many nights out of the week. And I am in Austin, but it doesn't matter what city you're in. No matter what city you're in across the United States and probably further into the world, this exact same thing that I saw tonight is going on where you are too. So if that's inspiring to you or if that's disappointing to you, I don't know. I can't make that judgment. It's just there's a lot of this out there, and most of the time we're insulated from it.
I mean, you could have told your story and not said where you were from, and people listening be like, wait, is that my scene? Is that where I'm from? Because it's true. It's all the same. It just doesn't matter where you are. It's the same type of music. It's the same type of people. It's the same type of venues, and it's the same goddamn Pantera song on the PA.
It could be. I mean, you got your local scenes are pretty much split down the middle. You have on one side the djent guys, the chin beard death metal guys,
metalcore,
camo pants, all the same dudes. They all hang out together. And then on the other side of the field, you have like these beardy glasses, baseball hat wearing doom guys.
Yep.
And you can go to either one of those shows. They're, you know, one day right after the other, and you can see who's who. Those two crowds never commingle, though, ever.
There's actually separate venues in Austin for those two crowds.
Yeah. No, totally. That's how it is. And I tried to hang out with a little bit of both, but I think both of them would be very good friends because they act like toddlers and drink constantly. So,
There was another thing I noticed at the show. There was a poster on the wall advertising the ATX Metal podcast.
Sick.
I just got immediately super bummed out thinking about it. Like, yeah, man, we were at the show last night. We caught all 8 bands. They all brought it super hard. Support to my brothers in this band. Support to my friends in this band. Just like,
just fucking amazing. It's so much, so incredible.
You know you have to listen to the next episode to find out if that's true.
Look, I went to the pay-to-play show. I'm not gonna go that far.
I'm gonna listen to an episode of the ATX pay-to-play podcast. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna fucking do it. I'm gonna listen to one episode, and I'm gonna use it as clip fodder for the next time I meme up a recording. I promise.
So, that in addition to going to a local comedy showcase, I've just been fucking killing it this week with murdering myself.
I've been the guy who was on stage at a local comedy showcase. Those are not fun for anybody involved.
Pretty painful stuff, especially when you have people riffing about how they're trying to get TV credits and they've yet to tell a joke. It's just like, so is your goal just to like be in the industry but not actually entertain the crowd in front of you, or like what is the deal here? Do you think that maybe you just are passably attractive enough or interesting looking enough that you'll be good on camera? I feel like we're putting the cart before the horse here.
Well, I'm just amazed that you went to a comedy show where anyone was passably attractive.
Well, let's not go that far.
So people who think they are.
Yes.
That's quite different. Because, I'll secede that much.
Because I think in comedy, you can be either be like, you know, non-traditionally attractive, to conventionally attractive, to just a fucking horror show of a human being, and that'll work for you.
Nothing's more disappointing when an extremely ugly guy goes up on a comedy stage and doesn't totally kill it. Like, you have to be hilarious.
You got nothing else going for you.
Humor. How did you survive this far looking like that? I did a local, and it's the same with, I mean, the your local comedy circuit and your local metal circuit are the similarities are baffling. You got, first of all, everyone who's there is only there to also perform comedy.
Yes.
Just like everyone who's there at your metal show is only there to play metal.
Yes. None of these people at either venue is going to make it in any way.
No, you see the same 8 names all the time.
And every single interaction ends with great set, man.
Yes. The bartender, who is the only person not there to perform anything, you can see the lack of entertainment on their face the whole night.
And they're the real victim in all of this.
Always. Yeah. Tip your waitress because God knows she doesn't want to be there.
So that's the takeaway. If you want to be involved in your local performing arts, reconsider it.
Yeah. You're probably not good enough. You're probably way low center on that bell curve, man. Don't bother. It's okay.
Well, as people that hit the cross section between entertainment and metal, I think that I can be the first to say we're failures. That's fun. I like it.
It's okay. I tried to listen to a couple of podcasts, like metal podcasts that actually are very popular, which they have them. It's a thing. State of the Scene is one such podcast, and I have no fucking clue how. I have no idea how that show could be considered higher quality than any other ones you might have on any small blog like ours. I don't know, but maybe they got in first. Maybe they talk about stupid shit that we don't talk about, like, you know, deathcore and Ronnie Radke, whatever.
Yeah, we only really talk about Ronnie Radke when he punches a child.
Yeah, I think we make fun of Emir, and we've already, like, alienated everybody that could have given us you know, a Patreon subscription.
And that's okay too.
Right. So like, we have the conservative grift, we need to do like an Amir deathcore grift.
Yeah, let's just start let's do some deathcore focused weeks, and I think that we'll probably get 100,000 subscribers, no problem.
Is that not Bee's grift?
It's totally Bee's grift.
Yeah. I mean, we're
it's
not...
It's been Bee's grift. I don't have... My head isn't shaped for a flat brim cap. I know this. The rest of mankind should know it as well. But what are you going to do?
I just can't imagine getting down in front of the microphone and talking enthusiastically about how much we enjoyed the latest from... fuck, I don't know.
Miss May I?
Yeah, Miss May I or As I Lay Dying or like any of these things that are insanely popular. That sounds hellish to me.
I feel like we believe victims too much to have anything positive to say about deathcore.
Very true. Well, if you're interested in that kind of thing, there's a bunch of podcasts out there for you.
I got a show for you.
But in the meantime, I think I'm just going to fucking peace out, man.
Yeah, let's call it, fellas.
We could end the show on a good note with a little bit of news.
Yeah, what's
okay,
up?
Okay, let's do it.
At the Darkness Guides Us Fest in Glasgow in the United Kingdom, the headliner, Taki, or Take, as I prefer to call them, they will not be performing because there is an uproar over, you know, Taki being Nazi adjacent. So they will now be playing at a venue less than 10 minutes walk away.
Shout out to, is it Order of Wolves?
Order of the Wolf, I think.
Yeah. Good job. That's good stuff.
You gave it your best. You tried.
No, thanks. Like this person on Twitter put in a few tips and got it got Taki removed.
Oh, I see. So we're actually
and just currently overwhelmed with just completely impotent black metal rage.
Oh, I saw that. Like the lowest common denominator of Chud. Like all these people who've never thrown like a single fist or taken one in their entire life are just threatening like the worst possible violence of people online.
Shaking with rage.
Just so all caps lock mad.
I will kill you, you Untermensch.
You fucking Untermensch. I'll find you at that tour. I'll find out where you live, and I'll kill everyone you've ever loved. I have the highest rank on my server in Call of Duty. I am a fucking honed killer.
I am the one who knocks. Yeah, so that's a good one. I like that. I'm glad that we could close the show with that.
Yeah, that is good news. It's really awesome how the promoter, this is like the same promoter who moved Taki to a different venue.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're not sorry that this is
not
happened.
Sorry at all.
They're just inconvenienced. Just
trying to save face in like the most backhanded bullshit fucking way possible. Just be like, okay, well listen, due to, you know, I do listen to social concerns. Okay. I did cancel them at the show. Anyway, I can't wait to collect the money I'm going to get for having them down the street.
Bum that he's got to cut out more money from his take on renting another venue.
I guess that's where he's sorry.
Yeah, no, it's inconvenience, Nazis 2020. All right, everybody. That's the show. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Keep it metal if you can. Peace out.
Wow.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.